Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Ernest, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question: where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
What is one sector all of us are looking to invest in over the next year that is essentially inflation proof and recession proof?
For me, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, healthcare and my leading player in that space, Eli Lilly. I'm from Indiana. I have a ton of friends that work in Indianapolis, work at Lilly, but anyone who is familiar, they are my leading player in that space. So if we look at the growth, even because there was a lot of companies that did well post COVID in the healthcare space, but not many have done as well as Eli Lilly. If we go back to 2014, the stock was at $50.78. It's at $317 now and 27 cents. And they've continuously had stable growth, stable gains, and technically they've had maybe one bad month since 2011. One bad month. And it's Eli Lilly's one of those companies like Tim Duncan is underappreciated because it's not the flashiest. It's like, well, I don't have a cure for corona in 2 days. And if you drink this tea with this elderberry syrup, right? They've consistently throughout, shout out to everybody who likes elderberry. It helped me when I had COVID. Thank you, Safari. But when I am looking at healthcare companies that have consistent growth and a stock that I never lose sleep over, Eli Lilly is the lead player that I would draft that is inflation and recession proof.
Ah, man. You know what? I wrote two because I figured you'd probably say healthcare.
Yeah.
But I had healthcare. And the number one reason I wrote it was because people are always going to get sick. Like, that's absolutely something that it doesn't matter, recession or not. People are always going to get sick. People are always going to need treatment. People are always going to need medicine. It doesn't matter what the financial climate is.
Yeah.
And so you had Lilly on there, of course. I knew you would. But I wrote down a few others. I had CVS on there. Mm-hmm. Just the strong companies, Johnson & Johnson, obviously Pfizer. Johnson, so what they did. Yeah. And like one of these slept on companies that nobody really thinks about, Walgreens, right? Like, people are always going to need treatment. They're going to need their medicine. They're going to need to get it from somewhere. These are just solid companies. So I had healthcare, but also had agriculture in there as well. Right. And I spoke about it kind of on when we were at the Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. Like, what is these one of these recession proof areas? And I'm like, well, are we always going to need food? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then based on the conversation, the conversation we had.
Absolutely.
It made it even more evident. Like, I'm glad this came up. And I'm like, wait, we're always going to need food. Mm-hmm. Right. We should be looking at the commodities or looking at companies. And I spoke about it. I spoke about Kellogg's. I talked about Campbell. Like, these are just steady companies.
Yeah.
That are consistent no matter the economic climate, because we're always going to need food. So agriculture, healthcare. I knew you was going to say healthcare. So that's why I came up with another one.
But sometimes the right answer is the one that we unanimously agree upon. So for everyone listening, we both agreed on healthcare. Please write that down. If you're looking for something outside of tech, that probably, I won't say probably, it should be the second industry or sector that you're looking to invest in for sure.
Right.
So, I'll actually go a different direction with this conversation. And I'm going to give them some insight to that conversation that we had on Sunday. I'm going to hit you out with something that what Jay said. I'm going to hit you out with something that could change your life up. Very insightful insight that was given to us about seller's market and buyer's market. Mm-hmm. And there's two types of markets in this world, seller's market and the buyer's market. And the gentleman, Kaiser Sose, we'll call him, who was giving us this talk. And, you know, I was talking to him and I'm like, he's like, I only want to be in seller's market. I don't want to be in a buyer's market. I'm like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Like, all right, let me explain it to you in ways that you could probably understand. He's like, when you go to a gas station, have you ever seen anybody negotiate the prices of gas at the gas station? Like, no, I've never seen it before. Mm-hmm. Right. Whatever it is, you just pay it. He's like where we live, the light company is called Con Edison. It's like Con Edison. They give you your light bill and you pay it. And if mm-hmm. you don't pay it, then they cut your lights off.
Yes.
Gas. Certain things are just non-negotiable. And even went so far to say, you know, even luxury items has become a seller's market, where like Louis Vuitton, you haven't seen a sale. Rolex, you're not negotiating prices of a Rolex. You just buy it. If you can buy, if you're even,
yeah, you need an invitation to buy.
Yeah, if you're even lucky enough to even get one. In reverse, the buyer's market is like a flea market. So like you go to a flea market, somebody has a painting for $100. You say, I got $50 for you. You settle on 75. Mm-hmm. Or people, you know, you're always doing discounts and different things of that nature, 50% off sale, stuff like that. That's more of a buyer's market because now the buyer is in control. And he was saying that that's not really sustainable and it's not something that you want to be in as a business owner. So we had a whole half an hour conversation about that. And he was saying that, you know, he's not even really a big fan of the stock market, but he did say two stocks and specifically that he thought were sellers market.
Yeah.
He said seller market stocks.
And which one were they, Rashad?
Please enlighten us. may have heard them.
Stock number one.
Apple.
Yes.
And Microsoft.
Mike, right there, like put Microsoft right here.
Put the logo in his hand.
Yes, so, please do.
So he explained why he thought that Apple and Microsoft fit in that category. And he was like, you know, Apple has become such a necessity of life. He kind of compared it to, he was like, no, you have to, like, food is a necessity. Mm-hmm. Transportation on a certain level is a necessity. Light is a necessity. He's like, your cell phone has become a necessity.
Yes.
Like, it's
the most affordable computer ever.
It's non-negotiable. And especially when you add in all their verticals, they are in a seller's market. Mm-hmm. And they can constantly increase their prices. They can do whatever they want. And they really have no other alternative in mass to erase them. And then he started talking about Microsoft as well, mm-hmm. for all of their different verticals. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that they are in a seller's market right now.
What do I know? But everything.
So I just thought that was interesting. So I say that to say, of course, Apple and Microsoft, but anything that is a seller's market is where you want to be and where you want to be invested in, and where it's non-negotiable, where you have to do it, mm-hmm. where the price is only going to go up over the course of time. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's just what it is.
Like, imagine if there was a software company that predicted where the market was going to go, gave you the prices before hedge funds did, and they were more accurate than Goldman, Citadel, Credit Suisse, right? What would that be worth? That is the Red Panda Stock Club. You can join us for shock. Put the link in bio. Seller's market, right? Because if you frame it more accurate than Kathy, yeah, up there with Novogratz, like some of the greats of all time. I mean, I know 6 months ago, that Bitcoin 20K price sounded crazy when it was at 55,000. Now people are begging to break above 24,000, hovering around 18 or 19,000. That is so when people even be like, well, stock club is a lot for 10 grand. Every advisor that I've ever talked to, they're like, if I were you, I would be charging 10,000 per call for the prices you're giving. Seller's market.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a seller's market.
The price is what it is.
Red Panda has become a seller's market. InvestFest has become a seller's market. Because it was like, even like when we was leading up towards the InvestFest, it just every day just kept getting crazy and crazy. And we was worried about capacity. And I'm like, all right, how do we limit capacity? Just raise the price. When we raised the price, people
didn't
kept
stop
buying it.
Yeah, didn't stop
and
it.
The demand grew every day. It's a different announcement. Dan Cathy and Tyler Perry and all these mm-hmm. people. And now it becomes, there's no discounts. We're not running a discount for InvestFest. There's no 50% off sale. Mm-hmm. Price is only going up. Because the value is there.
The value of the brand's going up. Seller's market.
There's no alternative. So it's a seller's market. You've created a monopoly. Now you have a seller's market. And no different. Louis Vuitton. Seller's market.
Yeah. The key is, and that the Apple vertical is crazy because they've created three different verticals that became its own seller's market. So like that's the thing. Like now that you become one, how do you create one inside of it? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just a brilliant strategy.
The seller's market thing, that's one of the best things I've ever heard. And I say that to say, it's like every Monday we give you advice, but sometimes you got to get the information and make your own decisions. So now you have the information about a seller's market, right? So now the homework for you is to look to see what's the top seller markets in the world, mm-hmm. right? What is it? Energy? Is it medicine? Is it farming? What is the top seller markets in the world, right? Research that. And research who has the biggest market share, who are the most dominant companies. Mm-hmm. Those are probably the companies that you want to be invested in because they don't have any competition in the space and they have to. Like one thing about it, every human being has to drink water. That's a seller's market. Yes. That's a seller's market.
Make sure
right?
You labels covered, but yes.
Yeah.
Labels covered.
You have to drink water. You have to eat food. You have to have lights. You have to be able to go places. Like these are all sellers markets.
In case of lobbying, homework assignment number two, who created that there had to be insurance for drivers and healthcare? Now you lobby your way into insurance being mandatory, which is a seller's market.
And it is.
Probably the biggest buildings in any city that you normally go into are either banks or insurance companies.
Yeah.
Find your seller's market.
The interesting thing is just like open your eyes to opportunity. Yep. Like when you do that type of research, It's like I used to call it like going down a rabbit hole. And every time you went down deeper, you just found out more information.
Yes.
But like really walk outside. Like when we spoke to Kaiser, we were just he's just walking outside, looking at opportunity. Every step he took, he saw opportunity. And it was like, wait, that's how we should be looking at life. Like there's opportunity in everything. So that even doing that type of research of finding who has a sales mark, like it's going to lead you to more information. And then your lens, your perspective on the world and on life is going to change. I mean, that's the type of powerful, like in an hour, we took that from a conversation. It was incredible.
And I always said, Sean Parker had a great idea with Napster. The entire music industry vilified him and then was happy to do business with Steve Jobs. And then Steve Jobs came in with podcasting, which is essentially digital radio, and killed radio. And even when people do podcasts, they'd be like, hey, I'm ready to pod, not knowing that the original format to broadcast on a podcast was the iPod. And then they tied in the AirPod to it now to listen to.
Yeah.
So even from a subconscious branding standpoint, no one's like, yo, I'm ready to Stitcher today. Shout out to Stitcher. I love you guys. I used the app for many years. Right. So think of how you can even create your own seller's market in the industry for which you're in. Or as I used to call it, the ultimate competitive advantage. You have to be able to do something that no one else in the world can do. Amazing conversation, though. Yeah. Amazing.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was just reading that like last week about the branding of the word podcast and it coming from the actual iPod. Mm-hmm. I think about that. It's like Band-Aid, right? Like,
yes.
Like that abrasive adhesive is not the word, right? We think of it as Band-Aid because that's the brand. But like podcast forever will be synonymous with iPod, which will be synonymous with Apple.
And some things are seller's markets, like petroleum, like, you know, these things are seller's markets, but then some things are buyer's markets, but you can create a seller's market niche inside of it. So like clothes is more of a buyer's market, right? But you have some, like, let's take it even nicher, sneakers. Sneakers is really a buyer's market as a whole, but you have pockets like Yeezy, like Jordan brand, like, you know, high-end Nike exclusive wear, that's actually a seller's market. So I was asking him, like, well, how do you create a seller's market? How do you create your own niche in a seller's market and a buyer's market? He said you can do it, but it's like having a needle through a haystack. It's very hard.
Yeah.
Like Supreme, like they've been able to do that, but it took years to do that.
It took time.
So the easier route is just to pick a seller's market as opposed to picking a buyer's market and making your services a seller's market inside of a buyer's market.
Go ahead.
So yeah. So when you're starting your business, that's something to consider. And when you're looking to invest in a business, that's something to consider.
That was a point I was going to say. So for everyone who's thinking like, well, okay, you guys are mentioning business talking points, sometimes marketing, but these are the things that you need to research to see what is going to become incredibly competitive and alluring to go public. So if we look at Stripe, process is very easy. They've kind of created their own seller's market where I don't hear many business owners outside saying they want to use PayPal over Stripe. So when they become public and everyone asks me like, what's the IPO I'm looking forward to? That's probably the only one. PayPal had a chance in 99, 2000, 2001, but Stripe, you don't hear all the horror stories that you used to hear in comparison to PayPal about locking up accounts for weeks or months. So they have created their own seller's market amongst the business community. And when they go public, I am pretty sure the stock is going to do pretty damn well.
It'll be
5 years.
The biggest IPO in history.
Easily.
My graduates from my school being Forbes,
bag drop.
Bag drop. A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.